certain measures to ensure his perfection. And then you have the intellectual creativity. All right? So what do you say? Does they fit your nose now? You have one just isolation, or you have one picture of it. All right. I think. Yeah. Let's take. You see, I think that basically it will be the same thing really. Now that I think about it. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, what's different from Rabbeinu Yonah? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the difference will be only in one case. In the case of Rabbi Yossi HaChassid. Rabbi Yossi HaChassid, he did everything according to the Fumas Yosadin. What does the Fumas Yosadin mean? It means that he was attached. The Fumas Yosadin means he was attached to the philosophy, perfection of the Torah. The Fumas Yosadin really is that which brings you to perfection. But Chassid means he's attached to perfection itself. So really the same picture emerges according to both, but we'll have to see what the difference is. But the same picture emerges. What is it really? It's a totality of what man's perfection can be. In the intellectual, there's a breakdown. The love of the knowledge itself, love of the mass, the substance of knowledge, that's one. Then you have the creativity. Then you have the perfection of the nido. Perfection of the nido means the energy system. Then you have a person, let's take a banana. Then you have a person who is a chassid. Chassid means he's attached to the good. But l'fim mishloch adin means the man's attached to the good itself. That's what l'fim mishloch adin means. He's attached to the good. And then you have the person who works. Before he's attached to the good, he is ingenious at directing his energies in spite of all the tides of the psychic energies. He's able to create a situation whereby he will eventually be directed toward the ultimate good. But basically, that's man. I mean, that's the sum total of man. Is there any other profession? That's it. Because in terms of the. Either you have perfection of the, is there any duplication? No, there's any duplication? You have perfection of the midos? There's no duplication. You have perfection of the midos? That means the perfection of the underlying, perfection of the midos pointed around the perfection of the psyche. Perfection of the psyche. That's what modern day people refer to as the psyche. That's perfection of the midos. Then you have the philosophical perfection. Then you have the means of reaching philosophical perfection, because none of us are born with perfection. We're all born with the instinct. So therefore, the means, the road to reaching perfection is your faith. That's the road all of us have to travel to reach your perfection. Then there is the end goal, which is perfection itself. So you see, the principle is in Chazal, the main principle is, say it again, because it's an important one to realize, that all these things operate simultaneously at different levels. A person isn't on the level where he reached perfection, doesn't have to use your essay. Otherwise, these great tanoim wouldn't have to be using it. It would be passed out already. See? But no one is on that level let's talk about Avraham Avinu. But even a great person has to operate with those measures. Why do I say that? I say that for a reason, not just because it's philosophical, but practical. As many times, people in our society, the big flaw in our society is it's a society of the superego, and it's a society where people have to maintain a certain image of themselves. That image is extremely important to them, and therefore, because of that, people can't really are hindered from reaching perfection, because they can't admit that they're on a lower level. So that's why Yiras Chet is not popular today. Yiras Chet is not popular today. Because Yiras Chet is if a person wants to feel inherently that his nature is perfected, wants to be comfortable with his nature. He can't look at his nature as being dichotomized. He can't, it's too painful for him to realize it. He has to be naturally be great. He has to feel that way about himself. And that is a tremendous drawback. That emotion, that's the emotion of our generation. That emotion, is a very dangerous one. The most dangerous one, because it will prevent the person from ever reaching perfection. And that's why I want to emphasize and show you that you see in Chazal, among Chazal themselves, that even a person who was on a very great level still had to use measures in order to reach the a higher degree of perfection. U.S. faith. He had to work within the framework of U.S. faith. But that's the way man is. I mean, everybody, anyone who used Tanakh or Dabar HaMelech, any few, you see the characters of Torah describes, you'll see that that philosophy is inherent in Torah. And it's extremely important from a practical standpoint. Okay. So one picture does emerge. The only difference is between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. What the middle person is. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, the middle person is the one that's in philosophical perfection. And according to the Rambam, it's the person who is the harmonious self. That's the only difference between the two. But there's no repetition either way. Alright? Okay. No, according to the Rambam, there was a certain harmoniousness to his soul. It wasn't either. Well, in other words, the other one's souls were extreme. It had unique characterization. His was a picture of his representative harmony. Abiyasi Yachas's representative harmony. Again, it's not to say he was greater. The importance of the memory is to show that each person has to work within his own nature. You can't say who was greater. Who was greater? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach or Rabbi Yossi Achasiv had the harmonious soul? You can't measure them. But the attachment to the good is it's a different. There are variables here. You're working with variables. You can't measure who is greater. Yes. Yeah, it could be. The harmonious soul is a very good thing. Harmonious soul would seem to be the one that a person should desire the most. It would seem that the harmonious soul is the one that the person should desire the most. But the only thing, it may be true, but it doesn't necessarily show you, you cannot say that if all things being equal, the harmonious soul should be the greatest. Right. The one who leads towards the most harmony. That's true, but you can't say that because the Gershia Chacha harmonious soul is greater than Lazar and Ben Arach. Lazar Ben Arach was the great creative mind, and his creative mind could have made his soul more attached to the good than the other person who doesn't have that creativity and is harmonious. It's different characteristics, different expressions of perfection over here. The Gershia Chacha's expression was harmonious. Okay, is it clear? All right, very good. That's the way... the one we didn't get. The one that we did, Ashley Alarto, according to Rashi. That I don't have an answer for. And then the phrase in the mother. Lomud v'yoet v'parv l'malchut. According to the first Rashi, he was Baki b'chol dava, a man knew every field. He had knowledge in every field, not only that, but he was in politics, involved in politics. And he was an advisor, every area. The man was in every area. Renaissance. So what kind of a perfection is that? And how would you put that into the scheme? I mean, according to the other ones, it fits very nicely, the five things. According to Rashi, you have what? What do you have? You have Asher Yolarito, then you have Chosid, and then you have Yiras Faith. U.S. faith. Chosid, yeah. Oh, that's right. It'll come more or less the same, actually. Chosid Rashi doesn't say anything about it. But I would say that Chosid means the perfection itself. Chosid implies perfection. Chosid, no problem. So according to Rashi, Chosid is perfection. He's attached to the good itself. U.S. faith is no problem. And now Ashrei Yolarito is the all-around person. The all-around personality. The all-around personality. It's similar. Is really Asher Lazar and Rashi? Is really Rabbeinu? No, it's really the Rambam. It's really similar to the Rambam's. Rambam's Chosid. The Rambam's Midos Asher. Yeah. So the Rambam Rashi Lark has Midos, and the Chassid is right. Right, so according to Rashi, how does it work? So you have three, again, according to Rashi. You have Rashi Lark-o, which is what? How's the Ram? Ram's got that chassid, right? Yeah. Okay, good. So according to Rashi, it works out similar. The only difference is the pattern works out similar according to Rashi as it does according to the Rambam. The only difference is, according to the Rambam, it's the harmonious soul, and according to Rashi, it's the individual that should be involved in every area. The individual that should be involved in every area. What is it? What kind of a perfection is that? An individual that should be involved in every area. What kind of a perfection is that? Individual to be involved in every area. What does it mean? I mean, it certainly requires talent. It requires talent and it requires intelligence. But, but that's not, I mean, the talent is not something, I don't believe the talent is something which Chazal would praise. That's in, something he's born with. The Rambam says that in order for a person, the Rambam in, when he talks about Nevuah, in order for a person to be a Navi, he says he doesn't have to be perfect, the Rambam says. He could have flaws. Matter of fact, the Rambam cites Yaakov Avinu, which says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetala. The Rambam says, you see that he had a flaw. He was afraid. He had a flaw in that area. It was a little bit frightened. There are other pshat in the Chazal learn. The Rambam just took it straight. Right? Yuri Yagal Mova Yetzel, I was afraid. Plain and simple. And he says that was really a character flaw. But he says that character flaw did not prevent Yaakov Avinu from reaching his heights of Nevuah. That's what the Rambam says. He says, however, he continues to say to Rambam, but he can't have any blind spot. He can't have, see, he can have a flaw. But he can't have a real defect. That's what the Rambam says. We had a Rambam there, Chelik Aleph. He can't have a real defect. I gotta get his lucky. The calf was afraid. Because when Esau came, Vayir Yaakov Mova Yisrael was afraid. The Rambam says he was a little bit fearful. So he had an emotional weakness. He was fearful. That's what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says that a person could be a great Navi, can reach the heights of Chochmah and even beyond, which is Nevuah, the process of Nevuah, if he has an emotional defect. No problem, a flaw. But if he has a serious defect, then he could never get there. Even one serious defect, you can't, will prevent that. Nevuah does not descend upon an individual unless he's a great scholar. Chacham, Dibog Midosov, a person who is very strong with regard to his instinctual control. V'lo yehe Yitzro Mizgabra Lov B'dovah Ba'olam, it says. And his evil inclinations cannot overpower him in any area, even in one area. Elohu Mizgabra B'dayka Al Yitzro Tomit. Vu Baldeya Rechava Nechona Ad Ma'od. Baldeya Rechava Nechona means a very wide stance of knowledge. Okay? Not limited knowledge. Baldeya Rechava means, Deya Rechava means, the implication of Deya Rechava is that his knowledge spans a wide distance. It's not just that he has a knowledge of mathematics or knowledge. It's a different kind of a knowledge. It's a knowledge that the personality is involved in. It's not a particular acquisition. The whole personality is the personality of knowledge. So every area you turn becomes another area of knowledge.
Intellectual
is not a good term. But
intellectual.
Then he said like this. Alright. Now, yeah. I don't see, Ram doesn't mention what I mentioned about Yaakov. I know he mentions it about Yaakov. Maybe it's in the Mora, that other thing. But anyway, but here he says, but it's true, he says that he can't have Yitro Mizgabra love even in one area. Why? Because, but flaws, defects, you can have a minor defect you can have, a major one you can't have. What's the difference between a minor and a major? The answer is that in a major defect, It means that energy is being trapped. The energy is being trapped. And spiritual energy is being trapped. And it can't flow to the higher areas. That's a major defect. It means the instinct overrides the intellect. It doesn't matter if it's one area. One area means, that one area means that there is a loss of a flow of the energy. And it could be in one area, but it could be all of it. Usually when that happens, it means that the personality is not, there's no supremacy of the intellect. If there's no supremacy of the intellect, then it's impossible for him to reach the Lord. It cannot be enough. But it's possible for a person to have a minor defect. Doesn't necessarily mean that this individual doesn't have supremacy of the intellect. And a minor defect could be like Jack O'Neill emotionally, he had a weak emotion, he's afraid, frightened a little bit. See? That doesn't necessarily mean that he can't reach the Nivuah, because when he's not in the situation where he's frightened, his energies are directed towards the ultimate good. And you see, for instance, that the Nivuah, when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, so he didn't have Nivuah for 22 years. Why didn't he have him in the room for 22 years? So Rashi says, now Chazal speak in the Shalom. They say Nevuah doesn't, you don't have Nevuah on a person when he's sad. What it means is that the Nevuah is a natural process. What it means is that when a person's sad, it means energy is being drained off. He can't really be involved in the world of Chachman. He has nothing to do with Nevuah. Nevuah is only when Nevuah, the definition of Nevuah is when you see the Rambam, study the Rambam, in the Chachman, that when all the energy is being directed towards Chacham, that's when the process of Nevuah takes place. So a person can have a minor defect in character. Doesn't necessarily mean that it impedes the energy flow. The only time we say that the energy is not being directed towards the good is not with a minor defect, but when the intellect is overpowered. Then it shows that there's that the energy is in the control. So then it can never be another. Now what it means is like this, that a person, the all-around man, means that he had no defects, no hang-ups. That's what it means. The talent, yes, true. Intelligence, yeah, but what prevents a person from being an all-around individual? It's hang-ups, emotional hang-ups. That's what prevents a person from being all-around individual. I'm like, this is my area, I can't just, out of the area, he's uncomfortable. It's an emotional thing, because he has the intellect. So why can't he apply it to all areas? The answer is there are emotional hang-ups that prevent him. Now, a person with an emotional hang-up can reach perfection. Doesn't mean that he can't reach perfection. But what it means, but it certainly shows, it certainly is something which prevents him to a certain degree. It certainly inhibits him, you see. So, this, according to Rashi, that's what the Asriya Ladatel is. Rashi is a Renaissance man. He meant that he was Asher Laratan, meant he had no hang-ups. And therefore he was the free mind. He was able to apply, emotionally, he was the free mind, able to apply the intelligence in every area. That was the type of personality he was. No emotional hang-ups in any area. That's what, according to Rashi, who was the one that Asher Laratan was? Rabbi Ben Hanania, right? That was Rabbi Ben Hanania, according to Rashi. I see a lot of that. So according to Rashi, also you have the same type of picture emerging. Just a minute, you have the person who is, it's close to the Rambam's, very close to the Rambam's harmonious soul. Very close to the Rambam's harmonious soul. Could even be identical possibly. So according to Rashi, also you have the same setup. You have the Asher Elazar, the harmonious soul, then you have the perfection of the, then you have perfection of what? In terms of philosophical perfection, then perfection in terms of reaching the perfection. But one of them you're missing. One second, you're missing. What are you missing? You can't be the other thing. Perfection is one point. The Midah. No, that's the Midah. Point down. Oh yeah. According to the Rambam, you have two types of Midah. According to Rambam, you have two types of Midahs. Right. It's a little bit different. Right. That's right. There's one thing that's missing. According to Rashi, you're missing the case where the perfection is from the Midos itself, where the Midos are the essence of the man's perfection. Rashi doesn't have it. Rashi will include that in the Asriya Larata. Rashi includes that in the Asriya Larata. All right. But regardless, it doesn't matter. But the idea, it is a totality. It is one picture. It's not a repetition. It's one picture. It's just a matter individually which ones you're going to stress. But it's one picture.
Ready? Yeah. I don't know why by Yaakov Avinu it's not called the most high up in the
picture. It's a picture. It's one picture. Point to both ways. Yes. I would say the greatest perfection certainly is Ramon Yisrael. That would certainly be the best one. Rashi's Renaissance Man or the Rambam's that's certainly the best one. But the point is, it doesn't necessarily mean that harmoniousness itself is a quality which not everybody's going to have that quality, is going to partake of that quality. Harmoniousness itself is a need. You know what I mean? There is a need, of harmoniousness. And that need, not everybody partakes of it. Not everybody is harmonious. The creative mind, that weighs everything. That's not the essence of what the member wanted to say. The member didn't want to say that. The member just wanted to say that he was so outstanding, he had a different quality of creativity. Because if you put all the Chacham on one side and you put him on the other side, what does it mean? A different quality, a different type of creative mind, a different type of creativity. It's not just he's more creative, it's a different level of creativity. But it wasn't talking about. The only thing is, I said the fact that it says that you throw in Rabbi Loza ben Horkanes also, it shows that he held as an indication that he held that he held that creativity is a greater thing, a greater attachment, greater type of attachment, which is true. But it doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't necessarily. You see, you can't. These are variables. They're variables. The important thing to remember is that they're variables. In other words, you can't say that everybody has partakes of each one of them. They're variable. You can't say your creativity is the greatest draw of the soul. True, creativity does draw the soul to the greatest degree. Well, what are you going to do about it? You can't increase your creativity. I mean, you can work on it. You can't work on the person's creativity. But there is a limit. Every person has a limit. These people will develop and they work themselves to the limit. That even though he was afraid, but he did what was right. Didn't have power. You see, it was Yaakov Avinu who was afraid. He was emotionally afraid. Going to the Rambam, he was emotionally afraid. But it didn't overpower his mind. He still did exactly what he had to do. That was Misgaber. That's what I said. Misgaber b'daita or Yitzra. Yeah. Misgaber. He was under total control. Never a situation where he was over that. Yeah. The 5 points, it depends how you're going the 5 points. There's different formulations over here. There's mainly according to the Rambam and according to Rashi. The intellectual two are the same. But according to the Rambam, the three that have to do with the other part of the soul, not the non-intellectual part, according to the Rambam, is like this. You have the Midos themselves, essentially Midos, harmonious soul, And then the prevention of the chait, working out a formula. That's according to the Rambam. According to the Rashi, Rashi doesn't have Midas alone. Rashi doesn't. Rashi has, the black book of it. Rashi has the harmonious soul, let's call it the harmonious soul, the Renaissance man. Then Rashi has philosophical attachment, philosophical perfection, and then he has Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim and philosophical perfection, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah, are exactly the same. They both have that. The Rambam doesn't have that. The Rambam has the harmonious soul instead. Okay? But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, really. You work it out. You work it out yourself. It doesn't matter. It's still one picture. It's just a question of... according to actually the best picture, I would say... Well, you can't say the best picture. They're both the best picture. Now we have the next one. Now you have the next mission. Next mission is difficult mission. Difficult mission is the question. Question is the question. Amar Lohem, he said to his Talmidim, Tz'u'uru, go out and see, a zui derech yishor to yidabek bo ha'odam. What is the good way that a man should cling to? That's the question. He asked the Talmidim. Now you see, they each had different perfections. They each had different perfections, but the different perfections that they had were based upon their nature. They developed their nature to the extreme, to the ultimate. And therefore, what emerged was different personalities, different forms of perfection. That's the way these five people were. But now he was asking them to reflect upon, if you're starting from scratch, he asked them, what is the right way that a person should choose, that a person should cling to? What do they want to hear? What they have to think? What they have to say? This all you. Rabbi Reza Omer, Ayin Tova. This is not easy. Ayin Tova means a good eye. Now, what is a good eye? So, the Rambam says what it means. Like, what I want to do is go through each one, and then we'll have to come back. Because we're going to start on the question. We're going to have a, we won't be able to answer what the, we won't understand the nature of the question until we go through the answer. Alright? Ayin Tova, what is a good eye? So the Rambam says it means like this. Hastapkus to Mashiyesh Lodam. Hastapkus. Hastapkus, Midas Hastapkus. From the Goyim was talking a lot about Midas Hastapkus. Midas Hastapkus means that a person is satisfied. That's what Midas Hastapkus means. Person is satisfied. The Goyim, the only Goyim was one time traveling and he went to a town and there was, he stayed by a person who was a blind man. And he was blind. And he was a Tamachachal. And he observed him there. Because he traveled in Golas. They used to do that. Golas was, because the Rambam says that Golas, travel, breaks down the ego, breaks down the emotion. And it's very good for a person to paint effect to travel. Doesn't mean, That's not what people check in with a travel agent. So the Ramagayan was he's a young man and he traveled in those days it was a dangerous thing and also it means he had no home. So you had to go you were at the mercy of the people in the town that you came to. And it's a breakdown of a person's security. Breakdown of a person's security. I think Neil knows that. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Rambam says it's a good thing for tshuva. It's a good means for a person to use to investigate his weaknesses that he has and try to improve himself. It's a situation where the weaknesses emerge. So the gross stayed in somebody's house for a couple of days, and this person was a blind man who was a Tamachachal. And he observed him, and he said he'd never saw anybody that had the need of a stopper of satisfaction of this blind man. He says, years later, he said, I never reached that level. That he was blind, and he was poor, and he was satisfied, completely, totally satisfied. Couldn't be happier than he was. Greatest millionaire was not as satisfied as this man. Total satisfaction. Say here. So that's need of satisfaction. That's Midas Hastapkus. So the first one, that's Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova means the man is totally satisfied. Okay. Now, Ayin Raw, a bad eye. What is a bad eye? Bad eye is just the opposite. He says it's a person who puts down what he has, and it's the running after more. Running after more things. That's the bad. And that's why they say if somebody gives you an ayin hara. Ayin hara. What it means is ayin hara is associated with another person being envious. The ayin hara gave a bad eye. It means that the person ayin tov means that he's totally satisfied. A good eye, he's totally satisfied. He never looks at somebody else to try to have what that other person has. Ayin Ra means he's looking at the other person trying to get from what the other person has. Okay? Now he says like this. That's one. That's what one says. Ayin Tov. Rabbi Yeshua says Chavatov. This is something which throws a monkey wrench into all forms of life. Chavatov means a good friend. What does a good friend have to do with anything? What? Yeah, what kind of a meat is that? A good friend? What? He doesn't give an idea. What? You should have a good friend. Well, it's not clear either. It doesn't say. It's not really clear. What? It's not really clear. It's not really clear. What? Yeah. It says like this. Now, Rashi helps out a little bit. But Rashi says, what is Chavato? What is Chavato, according to Rashi? Chavato. Yeah. All right, let's go. Rashi says Chavato. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shachin Tov. Rabbi Yossi says, not a good friend, but a Shachin Tov is a good neighbor. A good neighbor. And now Rashi in Shachin Tov explains already a little bit about what Chavat Tov is. Shachin Tov is like this. Yosef Tov me Chavat Tov. It's better than a good friend. Why? Shecheno ro'eyu kol shor b'yomu b'layla. His Shachin he sees all the time. A good friend, he doesn't even live near. It's just a relationship. But Shachin Tov means a situation where you have a good person residing in your close vicinity, close proximity. The Rashi says, why? Mignesha Ro'eyu Kol Shor, he sees him all the time, day and night. V'lomei D'masav, and he learns from his actions. That's what Rashi says. So according to Rashi, really, Chavat Tov, so now how will we distinguish between Chavat Tov and Shachin Tov? According to Rashi, at least Shachin Tov, we have some idea about what he's talking about. What is the perfection of Shachin Tov? The perfection of Shachin Tov is that he has a model. He has an objective model that guides him. So when it says that this is a good thing, what he said was a good thing is that if a person wants to go on the right road, he means to say he's starting from scratch over there. So what is the most important thing that he could use to help him overcome the overpowering emotions? That's the danger. The danger is the overpowering emotions. Emotions overpower a person, that's it. The mind is gone and he's completely overpowered and he can go to his doom. That's why he said a little pill every morning. He wrote on his little one. From Chazal. They said that till every day because they were worried. They were worried. They knew that. What? Yeah, that's right. They knew that the worst thing that can happen is that the emotions, the instinctual emotions, can overpower them, and that's it. They were realistic. They knew this can happen. It could happen today. It could happen any day. No one knows. It could happen any day. Because a person is secure as he feels he is. One little situation, and that's to change his whole equilibrium. That's it. And then you lose the equilibrium and the emotions overpower him, and that's it. So Shachin Tov, so the question over here was, what can a person use to be able to maintain himself against these tremendous forces? Chazal recognized that there were tremendous forces there that he was dealing with. That's what they were saying, Yitzhar Ra, tremendous forces. So they said that the Shachin Tov, according to Rashi, what does it mean? It means if you have a good neighbor that can function as a model, you see objectively perfection, you see perfection in an objective state, that is something that will keep a person from following the instinctual forces. By himself, between himself, he and himself, in other words, so the emotions are very powerful, the tithes are very enticing, and man can be seduced into following the tithes. But when he sees his shochan, he sees his neighbor who lives according to perfection, then that holds him. That holds him. That keeps him. That keeps him. What? Yeah, sure. You might say that. That holds him. That keeps him. But he sees objectively, the objectivity prevents him. Why does he? How does it work? How does the model work? How does it work really? In reality, how does it work? The answer is, why should it work that way? The answer is that when a person is overpowered by the emotions between he and himself, what happens is the emotions have to talk him into something. They have to talk him into something. It's not so simple for the emotions to overpower the person either. The emotions have a battle also on their hands. And how do they resolve the battle? They resolve the battle by convincing him. They work on him. They He really worked him over and convinced him that this is that the tithes are the right, are really the good. Okay? The convincing is always easier when you're in a subjective state. Subjectively, the person's alone, you can convince him. When there's an objective situation, the mind is awakened. The mind is awakened by an objective situation. See, a person can tell himself a lot of things, but when he takes a look objectively, in the objective world, he sees somebody, then the objective part of the mind gets thrown into play. Once the objective part of the mind is thrown into play, then the emotions already lose their ability. They lose their ability to convince him. Privately, they can convince him. Privately, a person can tell himself a lot of things. But when he sees an individual that lives the proper way, it throws him into the objective framework. Once he's in the objective framework, then the mind works already, and then he can, he's able to maintain his position in regard to the battle of reaching perfection. Then he can maintain his position. He will not be overthrown. What? Who? Kappa? Yeah, that's very good. That's a good point. I agree with that. As a matter of fact, I think the pasuk substantiates it. Because Kappa was alone, and she had no objective situation, and therefore she was able to be convinced by the Nochas. Not only was she alone, but once she was convinced, Adam was alone. Then he was left. Now she only had to convince him. See? And then they were both alone. You see? But you see, the pasuk does really imply that idea. Why? Because the pasuk says, what happened after that? Vayishmu eskarol at Hashem alatim esalach bagon leruach hayom. There's a big pasuk about that. They heard these voices of God walking in the garden. Leruach hayom. See? What is that? What was that voice? What was the voice of God? What is the implication over there? The eskarol at Hashem alatim esalach bagon leruach hayom. The implication was objectivity. Objectivity came to the surface. Then it was vayishchabei adam v'ishchab. Then they hid. Why did they hide? Before they weren't hiding. Because before it was just between them alone, by themselves, they convinced themselves, no problem. But the call of Hashem Elokim, the Salah Bagon, the Ruach Hayom, that was the objective reality came into the picture, then they ran into it. That is how they are done. So the objectivity was really what turned the situation around. That's why you have that pasuk that way. Some people say that's probably, and it really is true, the most anthropomorphic pasuk in the Torah. Vayishmu eskol at Hashem Elokim mishalech bagon leruach hayom. Why? Why is it written that way? It's written that way because what it's conveying is a certain objectivity that reached Adam and Chava. You see, that's what it was.
They get there.
What? That was the call of the Shem Elokim. That's very easy to get when that's the call of the Shem Elokim. You snap right out of it immediately. It wasn't a sin. No, it wasn't a sin.
They would have never broken out of it.
What? No, they wouldn't have broken out of it. They were very happy in this situation. Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be. You don't have to have a
no.
What? Yeah, no hostile one. Okay. So yeah, but what is the difference? It would be nice if we can define the difference. This would be nice to define the difference between Chavatov and Shachantov. I mean, Shachantov is good. Rashi says it's Yosatov. He says it's Yosatov and Chavatov. Why? Because he sees him all the time. And what is Chavatov? What is the next
relationship?
Close
relationship.
Close relationship. So what is it? How would you express both of them? How would you express the difference between both of them in terms of how they work on the personality? Chavatov and Shachatov. Yes.
When I describe the internalized the ego idea, Because once he has that objective model fixed in his mind, he has a relationship. He doesn't have to have physically God in his, you know, what country he has to see him all the time. But the other one would be, in other words, according to this, that the Shachdov would be a low level. Only he has to see him. It's not a turn.
The Shachdov is only when
he has to see him, in other words. It's not internalized. He has to see the person. When he's away from the person, he's in danger.
Right. And the Chavatov?
Chavatov is internalized. Once he has that life system, he doesn't see him all the time.
Okay, the second turn also be
But what is the, I understand, but what is the essential, what is the, in other words, that's true, but what is the essential means through which the Chavatov perfects? You know what I mean? Yes. Right. That's it. Chavatov is, Chavatov definitely means a person that works with you on your emotions. That's the Chavatov. Chavatov, what does Chavatov mean? It means what it Chavatov means he works with you on your emotions. He works out your emotions with you. That's Chavatov. Okay? Now, that being the case, you see, that being the case, so it would be hard to say that a Shachin Tov would really be better than a Chavatov. I mean, it seems to be, in order to be able to utilize Shachin Tov, it has to be on a higher level. I agree. That's right. You're right about that. You're right about that. But if that's the case, then you're not speaking on the same level. You know what I mean? This has to be on the same level, yes? So, such a situation is not one that really lends itself to perfection. You understand what I mean? There are two factors. There are two factors in perfection. One is the in-depth analysis, and one is the constancy. The constancy of the battle. See? There's a quantitative factor, and there's a qualitative factor in perfection. One is the in-depth analysis of the personality. There's a certain amount of time that must be spent on it. If you don't have the time factor, then the perfection will never be reached. Because it means the emotions have a tremendous outlet most of the time. As long as the emotions have a constant outlet, then there's no way that they will remove themselves from the areas where they are attached. See, there must be a breach of attachment between the emotions and between the physical. Now, the only way to break the attachment is to work on two levels. There has to be a breach of attachment in terms of an in-depth understanding in which the person removes himself, because when he has regained knowledge and he removes himself from those things which his instincts are attached to. But also there must be a surveillance. There must be a constant surveillance. If there is no constant surveillance, so then the emotions will simply, during the time when he's not involved in perfecting himself, if there's tremendous amount of escape, in other words, he has a big escape valve for the emotions, then again he can never reach perfection. Even though as long as there's a situation where there's a lot of energy is involved in the instinctual attachments, then no matter how much he works and how deeply he works during the other time, he can never really attach himself to the good. He can't. Because the instincts have too much of an outlet. If the instincts are too happy, then he can't, then there's no progress. In order to have progress, there must be frustration. There must be a certain amount of frustration. And if there is too much of an outlet, the instincts remain attached, then he could never remove himself from his attachments and can never reach perfection. That's why Rashi says, Shachin Tov is Yosatov Mechavatov. Why? He says, Shreino Roeo Kol Shor, Bayomu Balayla. What does it mean? It's a different quality. It means this quality of Bayomu Balayla that the man has, that his instincts are under surveillance. Day and night is a different type of a quality. It's a different thing. It's a different experience. He says that's the experience he needs in order to reach perfection. If he doesn't have that experience, he'll never reach perfection. I don't care if he has a good friend, and the friend analyzes him, and this, and they work over the problem, fine. But if he doesn't have the situation where there's a total surveillance with regard to his instinctual life, then he'll never reach perfection. Perfection, in order to reach perfection, you need a certain state of mind. That state of mind is with Bayomu Balayla. You must have Bayomu Balayla. It's similar to the Talmud Torah. The experience of, like the Rambam says, it reminds me of the Rambam. And so in that Talmud Torah, it is Talmud Torah involved also, but the Rambam with regard to Avas Hashem, the Rambam says a similar thing. He says that it is known that Avas Hashem can never be established. Here it is. Dover Yadua, Perek Asir in the Rambam. Dover Yadua Boro, something that is known and that is clear. She'ein Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The love of God cannot become Nitzeres Belibos loving, cannot become tied to a person's heart. Until the person is involved in it constantly. The Rambam says the real level of Avas Hashem, of love of God, is only possible if you have constancy. It must be, the constancy is a quality. It's a different quality. The fact that he's always involved is a different quality. It's not just you can't multiply hours and say that he's 10 times more involved than the person, he's 10 hours, and the other person's 1 hour. He's 10 times more involved. It's not a multiplication process. It's a different quality because he's constantly involved. So the first one said, Chavetov. Chavetov meant the main thing is analysis. Have somebody that can analyze with you the details of your personality. And the other one said, no, that's not enough. Why? Because in order for a person to be in a situation where he's going to push himself towards the perfection, there must be a situation of constancy. It must be Bayomu Balayla, all the time. If it's all the time, then he's setting up a system where his goal is going to be perfection. This man will reach perfection. If he's not involved all the time, and he has a little bit of discussion with his friend, and his friend improves him, then but it's a one-time deal. That's it. Then the emotions go back to the regular place, and the emotions are enjoying themselves day and night. That's it. That situation will never reach perfection. That's the difference between Chavit to say that he's 10 times more involved than the person, he's 10 hours, and the other person's 1 hour. He's 10 times more involved. It's not a multiplication process. It's a different quality because he's constantly involved. So the first one said, Chavitov. Chavitov meant the main thing is analysis. Have somebody that can analyze with you the defect in your personality. And the other one said, no, that's not enough. Why? Because in order for a person to be in a situation where he's going to push himself towards the perfection, there must be a situation of constancy. It must be Bayomu Balayla, all the time. If it's all the time, then he's setting up a system where his goal is going to be perfection. This man will reach perfection. If he's not involved all the time, and he has a little bit of discussion with his friend, and his friend improves him, then it's a one-time deal. That's it. Then the emotions go back to the regular place, and the emotions are enjoying themselves day and night. That's it. That situation will never reach perfection. That's the difference between Chavetov and between Shahadov. So the machlokas is, which is more important? The state, a certain state, which is Shachintov, or is it the Chavetov, which helps you analyze the different points? It's a machlokas. Because that's the argument. The question is, which one of these is better? Okay?
You don't need to say that the Shachintov does not apply to anything. He doesn't involve himself the same way the Chavetov does.
Yeah, he doesn't. He really doesn't. He doesn't. Yeah. Both. Yeah, that's the question. That's the big question. The question in the Mishnah is, of course, what is this idea of one way? Are you all seem to be good? All right, we'll hold that question for us. Question is, you need both. You need both. Yeah. But what it means is, the question is, how do you start propelling yourself towards the good? That was good, moving next to a bunch of things. So the question is, what is it that propels you towards the good? That's the question. What is it that propels you? What is it, in other words, you see, it's a total picture. What is it in a person that gives him that impetus, that works on the person that gives him that impetus to desire to move towards the good. The difficulty in attaining the good is that first movement, the first movement of the soul. And really, everybody wants the good. Who doesn't want to be in the happiest situation? Who doesn't want to be in the best situation? Who doesn't want knowledge? The only person who doesn't want knowledge, I mean, it's ridiculous. But the problem is the movement, that first movement of the soul. That's the difficult thing to attain. That first movement. And the question over here is, what is responsible for that first movement? It's not a question if they were involved in understanding what the good is. There are many things that you need for the good. But the soul itself has to be moved to turn towards the good. Once the person turns towards the good, then already he's on his way. If he's on his way already, then he'll look for a good chavra, mm-hmm. he'll look to understand his midos, he'll look to perfect himself in all different ways, in all the different midos. But the question is, what is that first step that the person needs in order to start the soul, to give the soul the impetus to move towards the good? That's the question that they're analyzing here. So over here, there are two things. This is the machlokas. One says a good chava. A good chava can give him the impetus. Because a good chava gives him an insight, an objective insight. The objective insight will send them on the way. The other one says, no, it's not the objective insight. It's a certain constancy that's necessary in order for the soul to start getting that impetus to move towards the good. That's the machlokas here. But it's not a question of what the good is. If it was a question of what the good is, then you need everything, of course. You just said before, the Chavetel is very important. I mean, you must have all these things. You must have the whole Pirkei Avos in order to reach the fact. But it means what they were questioning is, what's that first thing that starts the soul, that gives the soul the drive to move towards the good? That was my question.
Yes, the first thing was,
Estopkos. What is the, you see, what does it mean, Estopkos? What does it mean by estopkos? How does estopkos? Estopkos means a person satisfied. Satisfied individual. Satisfied individual.
Think about satisfied individual, he's not looking for
what?
Think about satisfied individual, if you're talking about being propelled towards the good, he's not looking for perfection, he's satisfied. What's the opposite
word? But what does it mean? It means he's satisfied, it means he's satisfied with the titles. What does it mean over there? Over there, what he means is one thing. That as long as there is in the soul of man a raging towards the titus, that his desire, he is in his emotion towards the titus, then that person will never be able to be on the road to perfection. Of course, I mean, you have to understand that this is, it's degrees. I mean, it's degrees. Midas Estopkos, to really reach total perfection, Midas Estopkos, you have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. But it means, On a certain basic level, if the person is an individual who is constantly overpowered by the desire to run after the tithers, this person can never be involved. There's a qualitative situation of the soul. There's a quantitative situation, there's a qualitative situation. Quantitative situation is at different degrees. Everybody runs after tithers. How much do they run after tithers? Different degrees. But there is a point where the man's soul, the nature of the soul is that it's running after the tithers. There's a certain situation of the soul where the degree of running, of pursuing the tithers is so great that this person can never be involved in perfection, because his soul is preoccupied with its desire, which is the tithers. Okay, that's what it means. Midas Estopkos. It means that there is that. So, in other words, according to him, the only way that the person can ever be involved in reaching perfection is where he's not running after titles. Why? What does it mean, basically? It means he has free energy. Free energy. It means the man has free energy. If the energy is occupied in running after the titles, then there's no way that he could reach perfection. So the first answer was, what is that thing which gives the person the motive force to pursue perfection? What is the answer? Free energy. That was the first answer. So actually you have three answers so far. The first answer was free energy. Second answer was objective analysis. And the third answer was yomam v'layla, a situation where he constantly is aware of perfection. Constantly aware of perfection. A person being constantly aware of perfection is something, is in a situation where it will give him the motive force to achieve perfection. Constantly aware of it. Those are the three things. All right?
First, it seems to be related to 2 and 3, whereas 2 and 3 seem to be two sides of one.
Yeah, 2 and 3 seem to be closely related.
1 isn't related to 2 and 3.
That's right. You see, the Benioff doesn't like the soul first. Benioff asks a good question over there. At any rate, but this is the way I think you have to learn according to the Raman Rashi. Now, next one for this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroa Esanolad. What's Haroa Esanolad? Person who sees the future. Person to see the future. What does that mean to see the future? So the Rambam makes a point of saying, you shouldn't think over here. It means a man is a great scholar, great chacham, very wise man, and he can figure out the future. Because that's not what it means over here. Because that's an intellectual profession. Because that's not what they're talking about in this case. They're not discussing an intellectual profession. They're discussing a certain emotional base from which a person can help a person throw him into the profession. All right? So the Rambam says what it means is that a person knows when he looks into his things, he knows what's going to happen in the end. Okay? They should be able to think about the future. They should be able to think about the future. Okay? What does that mean? What does that mean? No. No.
That
was awkward. You don't think
about
that. Right.
Okay.
So what does it mean, actually? What does it mean?
It
means that he can free the mind has the ability to be freed momentarily. And in other words, he's speaking about a person that can follow a title. But there is a certain quality in man that it doesn't necessarily mean that this man is less of a Baltaiva. But there's a certain quality in man. He could be a tremendous Baltaiva, but he has the quality that he can disengage his mind from the Taivas. That's what it means. The ability to make that, to disengage the mind from the Taivas. He has that ability. What? It's different than the first one. The first one, that's what it means to see the future. To see the future, it means he could know what's going to happen. He gives an example of, the Rambam gives an example of borrowing. There's an example. I guess he gives that example because, a person who borrows and doesn't pay. Why? Because at the time that he borrows, he's positive he's going to pay. No question in his mind. Because he doesn't know how his emotions are going to overpower him. Once he has the money already, now it becomes his money. Now he has to repay the debt. It becomes very, very difficult. Because at the time that he borrowed, he was certain. He was positive. Because the man does not know his own emotions. He's not a person that can assess and can evaluate objectively how his emotions are going to be in a while from now. That's the person that ain't a Rosh Hashanah. That's the example that Rambam gives. Ain't a Rosh Hashanah. It means he cannot have an objective. There's no way for him to have an objective picture of himself. But what happens is he is different people at different times. In other words, one time he has this emotion, he's that type of a person, and he has this framework. Next time he becomes, he becomes a different person. So there is no objective streak in his nature. He can't really, the intellect is not free. The intellect is not free, but the intellect really is, what happens is the mind becomes formed by the emotions. The mind takes on the form of the emotions. Right now he has this assessment of himself, because the emotions create that assessment. Then 6 months later, another assessment. That person can never reach perfection. Can't reach perfection because there's no one to deal with it. Which one are you going to deal with? so therefore can never reach perfection. But when can a person reach perfection? If there is the ability to detach his mind from the present emotion. He may be very involved in emotions, but if he has that ability, then that person has a chance of seeing and reaching perfection. Why? Because he will be able to see, he'll be able to get a glimpse of what perfection is. The emotions don't happen totally. And once he has a free moment where he has a momentary glimpse, then he'll continue.
That's the character trait that will lead a person to perfection. The ability to see the reality. To see the reality. That's the trait. We have machlokas really. According to this, actually we have four now. Two middle ones are similar. The two outside ones are also similar. The first one was the one where you have the satisfaction, the satiation, which means he has free energy. Free energy, and this is a different idea. It's not free energy, but it's a certain type of a certain type of situation. It means the person is one who has a strong reality principle. Strong reality principle to make it. That's what he said. All right? Reb Eliezer Meir Leivtov. Leivtov means a good heart. Leivtov. What does a good heart mean? What does Leivtov, good heart? So the Rambam says it means all the midos. He says, and that means, he says, going on the middle road. The golden mean around that. You know, the middle of the shvilazov. He says that is the thing that leads to perfection. What does that function mean? If you have the shvilazov, it's a pretty high level. You don't have to start achieving perfection. What does it mean shvilazov? It means actually, in today's terms, it's a the normal personality. That's what it means. Normal. No, not in today's, not as in today's, as saying today's terms, not in today's society. In other words, the term that they use today, that they use to reflect such an idea. Now, I don't know if they have the same idea as I'm talking about. I'm just saying that term. Normal personality means that the individual does not have extremes and compulsions. That's what it means. Non-compulsive personality. As we explain when the Rambam says the golden mean, what does it mean? What does that mean? The golden mean implies that there are no compulsions. It's not a compulsive personality. That personality is the happiest personality. Because compulsions means that the energy is hung up. And compulsion means the energy is hung up, and therefore the person can enjoy a wide variety of things. The healthy personality enjoys a wide variety of things, and since he has a wide scope, he doesn't indulge in one to extreme. And he has the greatest satisfaction, because he has the variety. A person who indulges in one thing to extreme, it shows that there's something wrong with the personality he can't enjoy. That's not natural. It's not normal. It means that certain satisfactions are taken away from him, and therefore he has to overindulge in this one area. That personality is not really the way it was meant to be. The normal psyche doesn't have hang-ups. He doesn't have compulsions. So it's a non-compulsive personality. It means he enjoys many things. If a person whose energy was free, he'd enjoy many things in life. He'd have many, many enjoyments that people don't even realize. But what happens is, because of the fact that his personality is damaged and he can't enjoy the wide variety of things, so he becomes compulsive and directs his energy towards one outlet. One outlet is bad. That's not the golden man. That's what the Rambam emphasized so much, the golden man. So he said, what did he say? What was his answer? His answer was a totally different answer, by the way. His answer was, what type of personality will reach perfection? Simply the normal personality. The person has a normal personality, he doesn't have the compulsions, then naturally he will be attracted to the good. Because it's within the nature of man to be attracted to the good. The reason why people aren't attracted to the good is because they have personality damage. But if they didn't have damaged personalities, they'd naturally be attracted to it. So that's the base that you need. Okay? And what? Each one is different. Each one is totally different. You have to really analyze each one. Think into each one and see exactly what the machlokas is and how it works out. Yes? Seeing the future means that he's not bound. The term seeing the future means his mind isn't
influenced by the emotions of the moment. His mind is not bound by the emotions of the moment. That's what it means. Heroic and old.
What? That's right.
He can see the kind of, because if his mind is tied to the emotions of the moment, then he can't see. Yeah, that's right. Then he can't do it. Then he can't reach perfection. Okay. I will stop there. Each point that is mentioned is a very good point. So why? I mean, so how do you decide which is the most important? Which is the most important? The one who raises, Rabbeinu Yonah raises this question. He raises the question. They're all good points. I mean, for a person, in order for a person to reach perfection, you need all these things. I mean, there's no question about it. You need all these things. He has to have the energy. That's the first one. He has to have somebody, an objective person, to evaluate his shortcomings. Then you have to have the role model. I mean, you have to have the stronger reality principle, and you have to have a normal personality. I mean, they're all important. All right. Actually, all right. Well. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah asked the question. Leif Tov is only psychological perfection, it's not philosophical perfection. Okay? Yeah. Now, Ezui Derech Yeshura, see, in Yadis does not agree with the, with the creed of psychoanalysis. Because the psychoanalysts maintain that once you have a normal psyche, that you've reached the end of the line. That's it. In Yadus, there's no such thing. Why? Because if there's no philosophical man, even if he's psychologically well, is constantly bombarded by conflicts. And the only way that the person can achieve real happiness is through philosophical perfection. That's what Yadus maintains. So psychological perfection is necessary, but it's only a stepping stone. It's only a stepping stone. Real happiness can only be achieved by the philosophical perfection. Because otherwise the energies of man are such that he's constantly in conflict. He won't be ill, he'll be well. But well doesn't mean he's going to really be happy. Okay. Now, so Rabbeinu Yonah, getting back to this, Rabbeinu Yonah asked the question. Ezui derech yishoros yidabek bo adam. V'chol amidos tovos v'hayishoros yesh lodom lidabek bohem. Ratzisi loma lidabek mida achas. Lios sholim bo. Kitov lo adam. Lechos b'mida achas b'shlemos v'nokal elov lahasig mimeno al kol amidos hachashuvas miyoso ben kama midos v'nem shalom b'achasim. So he brings the answer like this. He says that what is the whole question over here? All these things are important. So he says the question is as follows. Really, a person should not try to spread himself too thin when he's trying to achieve perfection. This is the principle of the Chachamim, that a person should try to perfect himself first in one area and work on that area. And once he works on that area, if he achieves perfection in that area, then he can then he'll be able to work on the other areas. But he cannot launch an attack on all areas of perfection. It's an interesting Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the way he interprets the Memra. So what he's saying is, this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying, where should a person launch his first attack in terms of achieving perfection? So that's why you have the machlokas, all these machlokas. Because the machlokas are each one was thinking which one is the best way. It's not a question of what you need. And of course you need all these things, no question about it. But the point that they were making was, which area is the first one to most important to break through? The most important one to break through. And there you have a five-way machlokas tonight. He says, Tov lodom lechos b'midah achas b'shlemus. A person is better off having one midah perfectly, and then he can go to all the midahs, than trying to have all the midahs, and he isn't perfected in any one of them. That's what it is. So in other words, according to that, what it means is that a person has to, for instance, let's say according to the first mandama, where it means a person should be satisfied. That's the important thing. So it means a person should work on that area exclusively. Should work on that area exclusively.
Yeah. Guys, let's finish off the memra. Amar Lohem. So he said to them, who was he, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? When he asked him the question, he says, Amar Lohem, he says, Roani es divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. He says, I agree with the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. Why? Shebechlal devarov divreichan. That his includes yours. His includes yours. Leiftov. Leiftov is all included. It's kolal everything. Yeah. What he meant was like this. Let's say like the Rambam. The Rambam says that it means the golden mane. So the golden mane implies that the person in person is on the even keel, like the Rambam says in one of his medical writings. He calls it the even keel. The even keel means that he doesn't get too excited, he doesn't get too depressed, he's on an even keel. So according to the Rambam's interpretation, what it means is that if a person achieves that level, so then they'll have the other profession. Why? He'll be able to be Roas Anolad. He'll be able to... What prevents a person from being Roas Anolad, that his emotions change from one time to another time, is because at one time there's a tremendous charge of energy which overtakes the mind. Once it overpowers the mind, so then he sees things in a certain way in one time. The next time he's overpowered in another direction, so he sees it differently. But if he was on an even keel, this would never occur. So he'd be a Roas Anolad. And in terms of his stopkus being satisfied with what he has, so he would have that too. Why? Because his stopkus being satisfied is, if a person is on an even keel, he says the person is satisfied. Doesn't mean he won't have any desires. He has little desires, but basically he's satisfied. So therefore he has the energy, the free energy. Free energy is something that's important to be able to direct to Chochmah. Takes care of those two. What about the Chovr Tov and Shachin Tov, however? That's the... How does he have Chovr Tov and Shachin Tov? Where's Chovr Tov and Shachin Tov? That's hard to understand. I'll explain something. Now, the answer is we have to ask another question. They asked which is the right way, which is the right approach, and one of them said Chovr Tov, and one of them said Shachin Tov, but the question is, these things are not within his control. So, let's say, for instance, Shachin Tov. You mean he could search for it? He could search for such a thing. That's true. He could put himself in a certain situation where he can have the benefit of the Chovr Tov and Shachin Tov. That's true. But it's really more than that. It's really more than that. And Rabbeinu Yonah asks a question. See, Rabbeinu Yonah has a problem with the whole approach. Why? Because he says like this. He asks a question. Let's see, he asks a very important question. He says like this. He says, Kach Pirush Rishonim. He explains the way the Rishonim explained it, what Chovr Tov and what Shachin Tov is. He says, "Ve'eino derech yasha." He says, this is not the right approach. Why? Ki lefi divrayim ayin tov avalev tov heim dvarim shebegufa. He says, because according to their interpretation, ayin tov and lev tov is something which is internal. V'chovr v'shachin tov mishel acherim. It's an external thing. Al ken yesh lefarish zos ha-mishneh. And Dover Dibur Alafonov. So he explains it differently. Alright? So he says that what does it mean Chovr Tov? He says Chovr Tov doesn't mean that you should have a Chovr Tov. But Chovr Tov means you should be a Chovr Tov. That's what he says. And Shachin Tov does not mean you should have a Shachin Tov, but Shachin Tov means you should be a Shachin Tov. Okay? Now, what was this question really? So what if it's an external thing? What do I care if it's an external thing? So what? So it's an external thing. So what? What was bothering him? So what? But still, the thing is, I have to seek that external situation.
Yeah, but you can't.
Right?
You can't be dependent on your own perfection.
Yeah. So why not? Because your perfection could be dependent on that. Why can't it be dependent on that?
Why? Because what you.
But what was his question? What if it's an external thing? Who cares? But the fact is, you have to try to seek that external situation in order to perfect yourself. Moving into a neighborhood, so you move next to a Shachin Tov. And if you're not living next to a Shachin Tov, so change your residence. What's the problem? What was his problem? What was Rabbeinu Yonah's problem? Rabbeinu Yonah was a very good psychologist. Yes. Well, Leslie, I think, was mentioned. The point is that what he's saying is that there are two different levels upon which a person works. A person works with internally, and a person works with external factors too. But you cannot compare the two. The internal factors are much greater than the external factors. So while a good neighbor and a good friend is an important thing, I mean, in Pirkei Avos says, yes, it's very important. Sure, it's important. But you cannot tell me Rabbeinu Yonah would not accept that this is a way to work on perfection. You're talking about, you can't classify these two things in the same category. I mean, there's a person who's working on his own emotions, on his own nidos, his own characteristics to improve himself internally. You can't put him in the same class as a person who's next to a Shachin Tov. A Shachin Tov might be an important feature, but this is not. It's a totally different realm. That's something which can affect the person for the better, for the worse, but it's not on the level of an internal type of working, where the person trying to work over his inner nature and perfect himself. It's a totally different thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing to have a chavata. But that's not the same. It's not the same thing. You can't compare. How could you compare the two? One is something which is an inherent struggle that the person is going through for perfection. That's on one level. And then there are external situations you need for perfection. But you can't compare the external situations with an internal aggressive action to try to change his personality. I mean, this is a totally different thing. You can't compare these two. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah's question. It's a very good question. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah changes the whole thing. He says, Chavatov means, Rabbeinu Yonah learns like this. What is Chavatov? He says, Chavatov means that a person should try to be a good friend to one individual. Try to perfect himself by being a good friend to one individual. That's what he says. He says, Shiyadabek el derach hayosher hazeh v'hu nokal asoso v'lios chovetov l'ish echad l'asher libo chofetz u'lahargil atzmo shetehei ruach acheres nochei menu v'chein yovo ba'avon kolabrias. So he says you should choose one person and he should try to perfect himself to the point where this one person is a very good friend of his. So that requires a whole overhaul of his personality. Take one and choose one individual, and he has to be a chachma, has to deal with chachma, not to allow his emotions to come into the situation, to be able to perfect himself to the point where he, as we mentioned before in Pirkei Avos, he overlooks certain things. And this is in the Rabbeinu Yonah's Rabbeinu Yonah was a very big psychologist. He said that with regard to him, the way to achieve the perfection was an interpersonal relationship. That's what he maintained. Why? For a very simple reason. Because in an interpersonal relationship, that's where all the petty emotions that a person is saddled with start emerging, start surfacing. You see? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that the way to achieve perfection is to involve yourself in a close relationship with somebody, then you'll see all the petty emotions start coming to the fore, and then you'll be able to correct yourself, and you'll be able to perfect yourself. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's advice. Chavatov, be a chavatov. Okay? What about the case of, what about the Shachin Tov? So Shachin Tov, he says differently. He says, Sheyehe ba'atzmo Shachin Tov al kol Shecheino. V'achar heyoso tov v'oev v'oev nema l'chamisha b'nei adam l'shmono koro v'lo v'adover leho v'skol bo'ei olam v'nimtzer ma'usher b'chol amidas atavos. He says like this. He says that you should try to be a good neighbor. The difference between the good neighbor and the good friend is that the good neighbor really is involved with many people, Whereas the good friend, you're only involved with one, and many people are not a very close relationship. Whereas the good friend, you're involved in a very close relationship with one person. That's the difference. Now, the reason why, what is the idea of Shachin Tov? The idea of Shachin Tov was a different concept. The concept was that a person should be able to look at people in an objective way. See, with a Chavar Tov, it's easy to be friendly, because there's a game. There's a personal game. There's an emotional game in the Chavar Tov. Because in the situation of Chavar Tov, while it's true that all the imperfections come to the fore, but there are certain very great enjoyments that come to the fore also, which are part of the human personality. In Shachin Tov, you don't have that. Because in Shachin Tov, if you're a good neighbor, you're very good to your neighbors like you, it usually will not pay off. In other words, it will not be a situation where the neighbors are going to give you satisfaction. You're not going to get any satisfaction out of them. They may talk nicely about you, but basically people, usually if something is done for them, they usually consider it to be part of the way things should be, and they go on their way, you see? Don't get too excited about it. So really there's no emotional satisfaction, no emotional exchange. In Chavar Tov there's an emotional exchange, so there's a benefit that the person gets. But in Shachin Tov, he has to be objective. So the one that said Shachin Tov, he maintained as follows, that the way to reach perfection is to deal with people in a totally non-emotional way, on a different plane. In a plane where he looks at the people from an objective standpoint. And then he says he'll reach a level where he'll have Ava for all the Brios. It means that he looks at the person from an objective standpoint, as a creature, a creation of God. Each individual is a Tzelem Elokim, and therefore he's not doing it for any personal exchange. He's doing it because of the recognition of what that individual is, what a human being is. A human being is a tremendous creation, and he's created by God. He has Chochma Elokim, Tzelem Elokim, and because of that recognition, he helps his neighbors. So there's nothing in return in this situation. He says that is really the way for a person to raise himself to a higher level. It's two different approaches. Chavar Tov and Shachin Tov are two different approaches, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Very nice approach. So therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah says they're both internalized. Marriage relationship is too, for a person that goes into marriage, he has to be extremely perfected. It's not the time to work out your perfection in the marriage itself, because the because the emotions are so powerful that he can't deal with them. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's two different things, and the machlokas here is which is the most important thing to do. Which is the most? A person, remember, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you can only choose one. So the question is which one, and you have to make headway in one area. That's the principle of Chazal. That for philosophical perfection, you can't try to be perfected in all areas. Why is that so, really? Why is that so that you have to choose one area? Why is it so that you have to choose one area? Why can't you try all areas? In other words, a person shouldn't try to perfect himself in all different ways. Try one thing, like Chavar Tov. Chavar Tov, work on Chavar Tov. Don't work on 20 things. Don't work on being a tzaddik and being the learning day and night and being able to do this or that. All these thousand things. Of course, I mean, Talmud Torah. I mean to say in terms of like... not putting your talent is very important. Can't waste the time. He's not going to gain from that. But I mean to say the little more perfections in the area. More perfections there. You shouldn't work on perfections in other areas. The main thing you should work on is one area. You have to have an attack on one front. So why is that so? What? Because there's a quality involved in being involved in perfection. There's a quality of being involved in perfection. By attacking, when a person attacks an area, it means that if he only has one area, then he really could see every day he's involved in perfection. If he's going to be involved in many areas, so it's like Shlomo says, so therefore what happens is he gets tough over here and then he moves on to the next one because he only has a certain amount of energy. So while he's making a little bit of headway in every area, you see, it's losing, there's a certain quality that's like it. Being involved in perfection requires a certain quality. The quality means he knows he's really working in an area. And to know you're really working in an area requires a person's whole energy. He can't divide it. Once his energies are divided, then it simply lacks the quality of an attack on his own imperfection. In order to have the quality of an attack, it must be something he experiences as a battle, where he sees that he's working on an area and he's making headway, he's losing ground, or whatever's happening. He's concentrated in an area. If it's many areas, so then it's lacking, he's not going to have that quality. That's why Chazal say that you have to have one area. Choose one area. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is. Yes. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to have problems with one more of them. Which one? Which other ones are going to have problems with? Lev Tov. Lev Tov he has problems with. Same problem. Why does he have a problem with Lev Tov? He says, on Lev Tov he says as follows. He says that, he says, Shezui Milas Tikkun Amidas, Lefisha Deosof Shalodam Novos Min Alev. Bizman Shalev Tov, Kolmados Yesharos, Vedeosof Nachanos, Venimsa Sameach Bechelko, Umeschaber Matovim, Vein Achofetzo Bedova Shiesh Bo Toelas Velo Hefset. Lechain Kosser Vomnam Ki Hadover Kenu Kidivrayam. Ach Ein Hapirish Misyashev Lefidar Kenu. He says, according to us, it's not going to work out. Why doesn't it work out according to him? Why can't it work out according to him? Then he says, Alkenir Lafarsh Lev Tov Ratzaloma Midas Haratzon Zehu Savlon She'ena Kotzeruach U'misrachek Mimidas Akaz U'meshiv B'mana Rach Af Ki Yasulo Dovaro Yis Beleyu Ve'en Mar Befiyu Ki Chiko Mamtakim V'kula Machmadim. So he says it means something else. It means tolerance. That's what it says it means. Lev Tov means a tolerant person. A good person. People refer to a good person, he's tolerant. Let's leave it for a second. Let's go back to the other question. The question on the Rambam, really. The Rabbeinu Yonah lodged an important question against the Rishonim that learn Chavar Tov and Shachin Tov is an external thing. I mean, he's right. Psychologically, he's right. You can't compare an external influence with an internal one. So how can you put them both in the same category? It's two different things. Yes?
We're talking about...
Yeah. In other words, when we say Chavar Tov, it doesn't really mean having a good friend. It means partaking of the quality of objectivity. The good friend is only a means to establish objectivity in the person. But the idea, the perfection stems from the internal, from making the internal connection between the good friend and his own imperfections. It's an internal phenomenon, really. And the same thing with Shachin Tov. Shachin Tov means having a person that represents an ideal. It will only be good if he just lives next to Shachin Tov, he's not going to do anything. It means if he partakes internally of Shachin Tov, and actually he works with that part of his makeup, that part of his makeup, you see, that will drive him to perfection. That's what it means by Shachin Tov. It's an internal phenomenon, really. The other Rishonim also maintain that it's an internal phenomenon. You see? So it's not really just Shachin Tov, but it means the person partakes of he internalizes the effects of the phenomena of Shachin Tov. That's what it means. So if that's the case, we can answer the question we asked before. What was the question? The question was, what does it mean Bechlal Devrayhem, Bechlal Dvar Devrayhem? That they're included, because it means if he has the perfected personality, so then he'll be able to achieve objectivity. He'll be able to achieve objectivity, and he will naturally look up to the right people. It's the phenomenon of looking up to the right people, where he recognizes the people that personify perfection, and he looks up to them, and he becomes attached to them. So that's the phenomenon. So he says, if the person is on the even keel, he's going to have all those things. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said. So he agreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Arach that's the most important thing. The other question you have to deal with is Rabbi Yochanan, if Lev Tov is Tikkun Amidos, Rabbi Yonah learns that it's not according to the way he understands it. Why? What was bothering Rabbeinu Yonah? I'll tell you, it's a double problem. Because either one of two ways, either it's referring to perfecting the midos, which is an all-encompassing thing to do, and you can't do, and then his whole premise that what is the one way that a person has to choose one way? Can't be involved in 40 ways. So that's impossible. Or else if you're telling me that he should be blessed with a normal personality, so then the personality that's not, doesn't go either way, then it's something that he can't do anything about altogether. So Mamanafshach. Either way, that poses a difficulty. Either way, that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says what it means is a person who is a person who is tolerant. What does tolerance mean? Tolerance means that he yields to reality. That's what it means. Tolerance means he yields to reality. He yields to reality. He doesn't try to fight reality. There are people that try to fight reality. They're unhappy. That's what anger. Anger is an attempt to change reality. Anger means when a person can't accept what reality he has in store. That's what anger is. Savlon is a person that yields to reality. The person that yields to reality says if he has that midah, that is the most important midah. That is the most important midah. Why is that the most important midah? The most important midah because in life, really, see, there's a Gemara that says that you have to stand up in front of a seva, in front of an older person. You have to stand up. They're passing the time. They say, talking. Even a guy. Ram, I think, passing is even a guy. An old guy. If he's a zaken, muflug bezikna. Muflug bezikna. Person very old. You have to stand up in front of him. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that one of the Amorayim saw a very old person in the Gemara condition, and they said, Kama patkaya of alayah. How many experiences did this person have during his lifetime? Old man like that. What does it mean? How many experiences he had? What it means is that it's a blessing it's a blessing of God. Because why is old age a blessing of God? Because experiences are what perfect the person. If, of course, the person is in a position to learn from the experience, he has to have the knowledge, because otherwise it doesn't mean a thing. But nevertheless, you stand up in front of a seva because a seva represents the means of perfection. Different kind. We stand up for two reasons. Stand up for perfection, that's a Talmud Chacham, and you stand up for a seva because a seva is somebody that represents the means of perfection. It's an old man. How many experiences he had? So experience, if a person has the proper nature, if he yields to what experience teaches him, then he'll reach perfection. The only person that doesn't reach perfection is a person that fights reality. What reality has in store for him, he tries to buck and tries to change the reality so that it should conform to his own plans. But if a person would just be objective and exceed, yield to what reality tells him, teaches him, then he will be on the way to perfection. Be on the way. He'll overcome his own egocentricity and overcome his own crazy ideas. And who achieve perfection. That's what the Gemara says. That Talmidei Chachomim Kishehem Maskinim Daitam Yishevas Alayim. When they get older, Talmud Chacham, when he gets older, he gets calmer. And a person and Amei Haaretz get more nervous. Because the Talmud Chacham yields more. He gets older, he gets weaker. And he yields more and he accepts reality more. The more he accepts reality, the calmer he gets. The person who fights reality, the more nervous he gets. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah is. That's why he says that's the most important meter. To have that meter, to be able to yield to reality. Not to get angry. Kas is the opposite. Kas means the person who wants to change reality. That's why he gets angry. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's shot. That's Leif Tovah going to Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah. There's one more difference that Rabbeinu Yonah has. In Ayin Tovah also Rabbeinu Yonah has a different shot. In Ayin Tovah, Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. He says, Ratzaloma midas hanedivos. Very interesting, Rabbeinu Yonah. Says, V'odam kazeh roi l'chol mida tova. V'zeh shakasav, m'chonin aniyim ashra. Ratzaloma sh'aniyim heim motzim chayim b'eino, v'nosim lehem ba'ayin yofa. Miloshon, v'es afra yechonenu, sh'afra...